Welcome back to Local Treble Clef. We are doing one of our old school style episodes. I feel like we haven't done one of these in like forever because now we've been interviewing everybody.
Yeah, it has been a couple months since
And so now it's like, oh, we're going back to the old school. So welcome back, everyone. From San Diego, I am Maylee.
I am Pete.
And we are your Local Treble Clef hosts. And so today we're going to talk about, we saw Low Volts. He's a one-man band, and we saw him at the Cordova Bar on Marina Boulevard. And so Pete's going to talk a little bit about the bar. There's a little bit of history, kind of a lot of history about this place, and it's tiny.
So it was a really small venue and stuff. Yeah, I have been to the bar before. It switched names in August or switched owners in August. And I was back when the bar used to be the Clutch. I was there. And then before that, it was the Marina Club.
Yeah.
And I actually was there once when it was that.
Oh, okay.
But I guess the bar, it's an old building. And in the 1960s, it was an automotive like a gas station.
Yeah, kind of like repair shop. Uh-huh.
And they switched it over to a local bar. And throughout the years, it switched names. The Cordova now is a lot more swanky.
Yeah, for sure.
Very swanky. That's the only term I can think of. I'm looking at this like, this place is swanky.
There's like neon and like, yeah, and then the living room setup.
Right. It kind of has that 50-ish feel.
Yeah. You know,
it almost borders line that tiki, even though there's no tiki in it. It's just
it
that.
It does. It kind of has
that feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. It did. now that you bring that up, that's so funny.
You know, before it was a dive bar, which I'm kind of sad because the old school dive bars are all disappearing. It was kind of the red walls and a little sketchy when you walked into it. You walked into it like, yeah.
Not the tower bar. That's forever going to be a dive.
Yeah, no, that would definitely be that. I'd be very sad if.
It's too small to make into something swanky.
This place is smaller, I think, than the tower bar was.
You think so? It's pretty small in there. Maybe about the same size.
It might be about the same size.
Yeah.
But if the tower bar was gentrified, it would really break my heart. There has to be a few of those around where people are kind of scared to go into on a Friday night.
Right. So what I did read a little bit about the Cordova Bar is that it's owned and operated by, I guess, the bartender of the Aero Club, which you could see off of the 5 when you drive by, and then the former general manager of the Aero Club. So the bartender's name is Marie Sanudo, and the GM, the old GM for the Aero Club, now the owner of the Cordova, is Chad Berkey. And then they have other people who invested, who have like invest in like the Alibi and other, and Shore Rider in La Jolla. So there's a few ownerships in there. And then, you know, I feel like you told me that there's a lot of bars around here where there's a bunch of different people that branch off into other things, kind of like the Casbah, the Belly Up. They're all kind of affiliated by one or two people.
I think Bar Pink is like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it seems like a couple of these different owners have partnerships in different bars around town.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because the more that we're doing this and the more that we learn about stuff, San Diego is a really small town because I feel like with certain things, there's just one person knows enough. It's like the degrees of separation of Kevin Bacon. It's like this. It's like someone's affiliated somehow, somewhere.
And I think this show was a good example of that, more than any of the shows we've had.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think it's because it was his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And other musicians showed up.
Right. Yeah, totally. I mean, it's a small world in that little genre of, yeah, we're in bands now. I feel like what we're doing, we get to witness all of that. So on both ends, on the music end and on the venue end. So it's really cool. And then, so the bar, I took some video and I'll put it on our Instagram, but So, like I said, there's a lot of neon in there. And then you go in and it's like a living room. And then a big side of like a bar, you know, on the other side. But it was kind of neat because the way that they had the musicians set up, it was like the living room. So it felt comfortable because the lights are low, it's real dim, and then there's kind of like this living room set up. So,
and they put the horseshoe bar in it. Before it was just a straight bar across the back in the corner, because they had a pool table where the living room was.
Oh.
But yeah, now they have a big, nice horseshoe bar in there, so you get good bar access and a bunch of big booths along the side.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did have, it was so crowded in there that night. Yeah, they did have the booths. Now that you mention it, I do remember squeezing through there. And then, so the crowd that night, you and I were kind of like doing our thing, so we weren't really talking to each other much, but I felt like, okay, so there was like, you can tell they definitely have the boat regulars because it's, you know, it's by the water and there's just these old washed up boat guys that are there. I don't know if you saw the guy with the t-shirt, but there was a guy with a t-shirt and it said London, Paris, Rome, and then Bay Park. And it was like, that guy is probably at this bar all the time because Bay Park is that neighborhood.
I definitely think it had that group of people in there. The ones are, even though it switched ownership, there are some locals which just never left.
Yeah.
And sometimes some of the old, you're looking at them going, I don't know if they know that the bar got switched.
Right.
It's like they just came in. It's like, oh, it might be decorated a little different.
Yeah, they're like, I like what you did in here. Right.
But they probably didn't even notice that much.
Yeah. And then my friend came and met us, and she lives in that neighborhood, and she was just kind of looking around, and she said, wow, this bar is turned into a hipster bar. And then we're just kind of watching and people watching and looking at everything. And a lot of the guys were hipster, but then we made this game up, her and I, because then there was other guys that were dressed like magicians. Like they were wearing gloves. They were wearing these hats, vests, like button up shirts. It was like, okay, so then we're like, hipster or magician? So we're like, new bar game, new drinking game. We're gonna get back to that.
Maybe that's the whole new movement. I mean, the hipster movement's been going on for a long time. You can't have a scruffy beard your whole life.
Yeah, it's here to stay. It's for sure. The magician thing. Wow. And then there was this one point of the night. So there's that little hallway where the bathrooms are, and then the little openings where they had those lamps. And this dude was batting at the lamp. He was so drunk, like he was a cat. Like he just kept playing with the lampshade, and his girlfriend kept pushing his hand down, and you could tell she was annoyed, and he was just really drunk and kept, it was like he couldn't stop. It was like a really like a cat just like batting at it. And you could just see it going.
How many people do you think were there?
I feel like there was about 100 or more people there.
That's what it felt like to me. Now, talking to the bouncer, he says they usually have about 35 people there on a Friday night.
Really? I definitely know there was way more there that night.
I would have thought close to 100. At least sometimes the crowd rotated, but there had to be at least. That place was packed.
Yeah, it was really hard to get around. And we got there and I don't want to say her name because, you know, we disclosure, but, you know, you and your date were at the bar and, you know, we get there and it's like, wow, we're just kind of pushing our shoulders up because it's like you're trying to squeeze in and then it's like, oh, I need to get a drink.
And that surprised. Now, it ended up we got there faster than we thought we would. Uh-huh. You know, the Uber ended up, you know, I did not look where the bar was. It's like, oh, it's at the Cordova. And the name didn't ring to me right away.
Right.
And there's a couple other bars in town with kind of similar names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was one.
That sidecar bar right across the street.
Yeah. There's one in I'm thinking, when I kind of just glanced at the name, I'm thinking, okay, there's a couple bars with similar kind of, you know, kind of C names.
Yeah.
What kind of looked in there, and there's one in Little Italy, and then there was another one on the outside of North Park, almost toward Normal Heights area.
Oh, okay.
And that's what I'm thinking. When I first saw it, I thought it was the one in Normal Heights, and I'm like, oh, maybe it's the one in Little Italy. And then when I looked up, like, oh, there it is. I've been there before. So we got there earlier than I was planning.
Uh-huh.
So it's a little bit before 9, and the place was packed. I'm like, it's mostly you show up at a bar at 9 o'clock, and it's usually dead.
Right.
Nobody goes out till at 9.
It's all those boat regulars.
Maybe, but it just didn't have that. But it definitely had that three different group. Had the regulars, what have never left that bar.
Right.
Probably since the 60s.
They've been there never left the bar.
Then you definitely had the hipsters. There was a lot of hipsters.
Yeah.
You had that movement. And then I think you had the other crowd, the people who were celebrating the Lobo Volt's birthday.
Right, right.
And so you had band members and people were to support him. So you had that crowd on top of all these others. So it was kind of an interesting thing
because
it was like a three different groups of people.
Yeah, for sure. To where there was probably the hipsters frequent that bar, and then they're like, wow, it's crowded in here tonight. What's going on? But it, like, I felt like it also, because it was his birthday, that it just felt so, like, you could feel the love in the air because a lot of people were there to support him for his birthday, and that was really, it made it feel more comfortable, I guess.
It was. It was a great crowd. I mean, for how packed the place is, and we've talked about crowds before, it was mm-hmm. none of that. Everybody was mellow.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of got, I mean, getting to the bar was not an easy thing at any point in the night.
Right.
You kind of had to fight your way up there.
Uh-huh.
But the crowd, for the most part, was just into listening to the music or
right.
talking. And
yeah, they were, yeah, it was really just a fun, We had a really good time. So, oh, and I have to give it to the bartenders there. They, no matter what, were so friendly. Every time we went to the bar, you know, I mean, it's like probably like 4 deep at any, you know, any angle at that bar. And then you get up there and they're still super friendly and like smiling and what can I get you? And you know, sometimes some bars, those bartenders are so burnt out that they're just like, what?
No, I agree. They were on top of it. And they'd have, because it is a little swanky, they have their specialized drinks, which are not easy drinks to make.
Yeah.
A lot of people were ordering specialized drinks. I seen some really fancy mixed drinks and stuff. So it wasn't just pouring beer off of a tap
or
making a couple rum.
Right. Yeah. It was... Yeah, that's really time consuming when you have to shake up a few things together. Because when I was a bartender, the bar that I worked at on Catalina Island, you know, tourist, summertime, it's just nuts. And if anyone ordered a blended drink, I was just like, fuck. They're going to get the grossest blended drink they've ever gotten so they don't order another one. Because I just don't have time for this.
And there's that big movement, which is a really good thing in bars and stuff, and they've done it there, where they're using all fresh stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they were peeling the limes to get the essence off of them while they're making drinks.
I like that.
They're using fresh lime juice and fresh ingredients. It really is. It makes a better drink.
Mm-hmm.
And
I feel like the lot, which is such a good movement, that a lot of bars are getting back to bartenders being bartenders and mixologists, where it is all fresh and there's a lot of ingredients. It's a lot of things involved to make the drink tasty. And I feel like for a while, a lot of bars got away from that because it was just mostly like Red Bull and vodka and, you know, just like a Cape Cod, whatever. And now that all these old fancy drinks are coming back, but then they got a little twist to them. And then, yeah, so... For the listeners, if you go on their website, you can see their specialty cocktails. And they have some really great stuff there. So I would definitely just go for to hang out because it's a little cool bar just to go hang out.
It is. It has a good vibe in the bar. I like it. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to think because, you know, I've been a dive bar kind of person, and that's a lot what I felt comfortable in and spent times in. And sometimes I miss, like, you get in there, I miss the red of bars. It's mm-hmm. like everybody's replacing the red with these beiges and browns, which mm-hmm. I hope go away because I do like the red better.
Vinyl, yeah.
And the red vinyl.
Yeah.
Maybe it's nostalgic
right.
for me. But it just has a really good vibe and feel, but it doesn't have the dust. I'm thinking, why does you get a place like this and they decorate it really nice and swanky, but it's like, why doesn't it have the feel like the old dive bars, like the Tower, mm-hmm. who's been there forever? And I think it's just the level of dust.
Right.
Because this place, everything's clean and new.
Right.
And the stuff they have up on shelves are still polished. You know, you go to the places, and not even the dust of it being dirty, but just that it's been there for a while
right.
and that it's been settled because uh-huh. you know you can clean as much as you want, but all those knickknacks on the shelves get polished in the front, but they kind of get layered
right where there's no cleaning it anymore because it's just been there forever.
right Or you know you get the grime into the corners, so things get those sharp edges because everything's kind of
right
all you know, the little corners and stuff uh-huh. and it doesn't have that yet, but yeah, give it some time. I think that place would be there for a while.
I think so too. I really think so. It's a cool place. So now we're going to go into the music part of our night, which we were there, like I said, to see Low Volts, the one man band. His name's Tim Lawson, and he is a 3-time San Diego Music Award winner for, I think it was artist and album. And then like 1 year he won 2, and then the next year he won 1. And he's a one man. His music is kind of like a dirty blues rock and soul type of feel to it. Very old school ish, like almost Elvis. Do you feel like there are some songs where I felt it had that Elvis feel?
Yeah, I do. I do think that. And I think that gets into, like you said, that the old rock and roll or the old blues. I mean, mm-hmm. Elvis was very blues. I mean, that was what he made a career of, taking blues songs and singing him
right
and bringing it to a different crowd of people who wouldn't necessarily listen to the blues.
Yeah. And Low Volts himself, just, you know, because then he has his stage outfit, and I mean, I feel like he would probably dress like that all the time. It just seems like his natural wear. It like the whole presence, and then his guitars, they all had fringe on them. And then the setup of his instruments, it's like he has the kick drum, and then there's 3 tambourines on the back, and the way that he hits it, and he's on top of it or using the pedal to hit the kick. It's like, it just is amazing what kind of sound he can get from one guy playing all these multiple instruments. He's changing out his guitars. He's got a big pedal board, so I'm sure that helps out a lot of what kind of sound he can get. But he could get just this real chunky sound out of just these 3 instruments pretty much that he's playing all at the same time and then singing. I don't know how he could do that all. I feel like it's like the whole, what was it, like pat your head and rub your stomach in a circle, see if you could do those things at the same time. And it's really hard. And I would think that being a one-man band would kind of be like that.
It has to be. Now, I had a friend, my friend Doug, who did a one-man band about 10 years ago in town. And he actually, now he didn't do, like Low Volt had the one kick drum. Now mm-hmm. he used the full drum set. What he had, 4 foot pedals, what he did.
Oh, okay.
So he had one for the snares and the...
Oh, wow.
You know, the whole...
That's so creative thing. How they come up with that.
But he stripped his guitar down to 4 strings because he said trying to keep track of 6 strings and the 4 feet pedal, he says, I couldn't do it. My brain just would not... It was just too much to do it. And I think with a one-man band, they do have a similar type of sound. I mean, there is a... movement in one man bands, if you look it up throughout, there's a whole history behind one man bands. And so I think, but it is amazing how much sound he gets off of it.
Right.
If I heard an album of it, I would not know he's a one man band.
Right.
I would be like, no, he has three other people behind him, or at least a couple people.
Right. Yeah. It's amazing to watch. And, you know, and then he starts, and then he's on top of the drum, and then he starts, you know, kicking his leg on top of it, and it moves some of the tambourines, and it's like this chunky, and it, just the whole thing. It's like, wow, it's a good performance.
It is a lot of energy he's putting into it. And yeah, he's dressed to the nines in his band outfit.
It makes you want to watch him. Because the crowd was, when he started performing, I feel like everyone really paid attention to him, and they were dancing, and it wasn't any, there weren't any moments like, you know, sometimes you can see the crowd kind of losing interest, and that wasn't the case that night. It's just because he, you know, he's up on the drums, he's not on the drum, you know, and then like, it's just the way that he interacts and he engages, it really pulls you in. And I mean, I was just amazed at his talent. That it was like, wow. He's changing out. I think he had like a Gibson, I want to say, and then he had some Telecaster, and then he pulls out, when he was doing the cover of Personal Jesus from Depeche Mode, he pulls out this coffee can guitar. And I was like, what the fuck is that? Because, you know, I didn't even know that there was such a thing until I had to go, you know, ask him after the show. And when he told us a little bit the history of the coffee can guitar, and it only had three strings, and the sound he can get out of this three string coffee can guitar with fringe on it, I was just like, holy moly. And then, yeah. And so then I'm like, okay, I want to look up what he told us, the history. And then there's so many tutorials on YouTube how to make a coffee can guitar. So I guess it's pretty simple. And then he said that the coffee can guitar was gifted to him by somebody, because, it's called the, the Switch of Death coffee can guitar is the name of that guitar. And he said, because he's the great grandson of a traveling gospel singer who was framed for murder. Did he say in the 1920s?
I think it was around that. Yeah.
Yeah. So his great grandfather was framed for murder and sentenced to the electric chair. And Lil Volz was like, I wouldn't be born today if this didn't happen, like if he had to get electrocuted. And so a key witness helped pardon his great grandfather the final hours of when they're just going to pull this like switch. So that is crazy. And I guess that his great grandfather had wrote a book on his story, and it's titled Up From the Depths, The Miracle That Saved Me From the Electric Chair. And so that's the story that inspired his name, Lil Volz. And then the coffee can guitar was made by somebody who knew his
grandfather, I think.
Yeah, his great grandfather. I feel like it was passed down or something, and it has some inscription on the inside of electric chair thing. Do you remember what he said?
Yeah, he says it has the blueprints for the original electric chair inscribed on the guitar.
Yeah. Well, he said he's willing to do an interview, so we'll let him explain all about that when we get that, because that is just alone, like one of the things that makes musicians so interesting when they have these these stories like that. And so, because, you know, first I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, what's this crazy instrument I've never seen before? And then it goes to this whole thing, and it's like, wow, that even makes it even more cool. So yeah, that was real. I was just blown away. So yeah, I mean, if you guys, you definitely, for the listeners, I feel like you need to go see Lil Volz at one point. And Pete, you saw him on the Valentine show. I didn't get to make that one.
And I do got to say, and I talked to him a little bit after the show about that too. That venue was so small and it was his birthday. It wasn't even his full amp set.
Yeah, he was kind of like, oh, what the sound wasn't that good tonight.
Really, when I seen him on Valentine's and it was in a hall, you know, a lot of people were dancing, but the music was incredible. The amount that he pulls off as a single person, it is a must-see.
Yeah. Yeah, because you were talking about how many, everyone was dancing at the Moose Lodge when he performed on Valentine's.
Yeah.
And he's there pretty, is he a regular performer there? Because it seemed like you said the crowd knew his music pretty well.
Yeah, I think he lives up in Oceanside. And now he was one of the bands, but Shane Hall said was one of his favorite bands in town. And I guess they play, but both those guys live up in the Oceanside area. So they play around, I think, the Oceanside area quite a bit. It sounded like we're talking to somebody in that crowd and he's like, oh yeah, he played like a week ago at this bar just down the street from the Moose Lodge. And
Yeah. So, I also saw that he has a few songs of his there's a song called My Fixin' and it's from his Twist Shake and Grind album. And it was featured on an episode of Shameless and Super Troopers 2. So he's got some stardom already, which is cool. And I'm glad because, yeah, he has three albums. And the first one's called Twist, Shake, Grind, Break. And that was from 2011. And then he has Oh My Stars from 2012 and Roam With You is 2018. So he's been around for a while now because it's 2020. And if his first album was 2011, he's been doing music for a while. So that's cool. So I have a few songs. Here it is. That I want to share with you guys because it's like, yeah, you guys just have to hear some clips and then stream it and then go see him and we'll let you know where he's playing. So I have the My Fixin'. This is the one that he has on Super Troopers 2 and the episode of Shameless. Almost like when you hear that, I feel like I could see an Elvis move, like with the strumming and the hip and grinding and all that stuff. It definitely has that sound to it. But I, even though his music has this sound, it's so I could totally listen to it. I could play it in my car, all that stuff. I watch him like many times just because he's such a good performer. So I have the next song. And the reason why I'm playing this song is just because the name of it, it's the lyrics. It's called Bloody Knuckles and a Hickey. And it's from the Oh My Stars album. But I was listening to it and I was like, this is like really cute. So I'll start it like a little bit in. Skin deep souvenirs. Pretty much like he woke up with bloody knuckles and a hickey and he doesn't know where it came from. That's a cool song. We've all done there. Do you think we've all been there?
We've all been there at one point. You know, you wake up like, what the?
Where did that come from? Shit, I got a hickey. Am I supposed to go to work with this? Oh, and then so I was only going to play three songs, but then I was like, there's a song called Crimple Cat. Pete, I mean, I got to play the song for you, right? Because you're a crazy cat guy. So I was like, we're just going to play the shit out of Low Volt songs on our episode today. But this Crimple Cat song is like it's clever. Like, I love the lyrics of these songs. Yeah, that was, I love all these songs. I mean, once you actually, people, if you're going to stream it, put the headphones on and just listen and really listen to the lyrics, because it makes it more fun. Because it's like, oh my God, this is really, like, I could move around. And then this.
There's a lot of energy behind his songs.
There really is.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even watching him perform, he has so much energy that it just, you want to move.
Uh-huh. It's one of those, it's that type of music where, like, if I was going to clean my house and I would put on my earbuds and play this, and I'd be probably dancing like a fool around. And then if I'm, like, outside sweeping or whatever, the neighbors would be like, what the fuck is that girl doing? I had the headphone dance party going on. So they can't hear it, but only me. And they're just like, what's she doing down there? All right. So the last song that I have, because I wanted to play a song from each album. And so this last song is called Bullet Holes, and it's from the Roam With You album. Hearing it, because you can hear that chunky, like I said, the chunky strumming sound. It sounds just like that live.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because you know how sometimes live music, some bands, they sound completely different, and it's like, oh, it's wow.
Good or bad sometimes.
Right.
I've had ones where I didn't like the album with great live bands, or the other way where it's like, oh, my God, these are amazing. Then you go and see them, and it's like, oh,
that's okay. How I felt like with the Killers, unfortunately.
Yeah,
they're very highly produced on an album studio, and then it's like you see them live, and it's like, ooh, you kind of need that. It's like, oh, wait, bummer.
But yeah, he's not one. He just definitely has the energy in both his music, and seeing him live
is even
just
better.
Just to watch him perform, I mean, he's such a performer.
Yeah, he's I would the music. Streaming is great, but to see it live is even better.
And when he hops up, what do you thought when he hopped up on top of his drum?
Right?
It's like you don't expect somebody to stand on top of their drum.
Uh-huh. And he's got the guitar in hand while he's doing that. And then, and he's on a corded guitar, not wireless. So it's like, oh, he could totally trip on that. But, and you know, and he's got it kind of like tilted towards the air, and then he's tall on top of it. So it's, yeah, it's just amazing to watch. So people, I mean, you need to go to, he does have a website, and then he's on Instagram, Low Volts, and you can see where to find him, stream him on Spotify. I'm sure he's on Apple. You'll just have to go to his Instagram page and then click on the link and find that. But tell him where he's playing.
Yeah, he has a couple shows coming up. On Thursday, March 19th at the Seaport Sessions from 5:30 to 7:30 at Seaport Village. And then Saturday, April 4th. I wanted to add more letters to that. North Park Festival of Beer from 1:30 to 7:30.
Yeah, so he'll be at those two. They're kind of like those seem a little, because they're going to be like an outdoor thing. So it's not like a small, intimate thing that we went to. So he'll probably have like the really good speakers. he's got like the big amps out going at these places. So that'll be really cool. The Seaport Sessions thing, I didn't even know that that was a thing. And then when I looked into it, and I'm excited because, you know, we're going to go to one of them too, but it sounds really cool. They have a lot of local San Diego bands perform. I want to say it's every Thursday. I'm not sure if it's once a month on Thursday, but go to the Seaport Village page. They have a, you know, .com, whatever, and then you guys can find it. So our next show, we're going to go see this band called Never Say Die. They're a punk band, but not a hardcore punk. I think they're more along the lines of like kind of what San Diego has generated like in the 90s, like more of a pop, like Blink and Unwritten Law. So they're more along that line of a punk band. And we're going to see them Friday, March 13th at the 710 Beach Club in PB from 9:30 to 10:20. So if you guys want to come and see them, that'll probably be a really fun show, because I feel like those type of punk bands, they put out a lot of energy too. And because they're a little more poppy, I feel like those type of guys are normally like hilarious and they're kind of jokesters and stuff. Cause my first brother-in-law was in a band like that, and I always had such a good time at their shows. And then like all the other bands that they would play with, it would just really be fun. So, and it's normally, I feel like the formula for those type of bands is like a 3-piece. And then they have those stance, those, you know, just like the legs spread out, and then like their one arm just moves up and down when they're strumming the guitar. So, yeah. So that's where we're going to be Friday, March 13th. And then we're going to interview these guys. So that's why you guys should go to the show. And then we're going to interview them the next day, and our episode will be on them. So for the listeners, you guys, that it's always fun if you could go to these shows and actually see the bands and then hear our episodes on them, because it makes it even better. And this is early enough to where you can meet us there. So where can they find us, Pete?
We're on Instagram and Facebook. We're on Spotify and Anchor.
Yeah, the anchor.fm app.
FM. And I think we can stream. It's on some other ones. So if you use your favorite podcast app, you should be able to pull it into that.
Yeah, just not on Apple yet. I have to figure that one out. It's like you have to submit it and like do, there's just some steps that I haven't been able to do, but we are on Spotify now. So when you miss episodes, you can actually download them so you can listen to them offline.
Yeah, it is nice that we're on Spotify. Now I have it on my app, because before I didn't.
Right? So I just want to thank all the listeners for listening. I see how many listens we've been getting. And the more episodes we've had, we have more listens on these last few. So it's exciting. And thank you for listening to us, everyone. I mean, we're bringing you the local music here in San Diego and the artists. And I am just so thankful for the bands, too, that have been so great to us. And everyone's willing to come in for an interview, or, you know, or we go to them. It's like, like, how cool is that?
It is really amazing. And all the bands we've dealt with so far have been so cool.
It's right?
Like, I want to hang out with these guys.
I know.
I mean, even like the Ryders, what, we spent an hour just chatting with them after the interview.
Because yeah.
they are just amazing people. And everybody we've met so far is just
And doing incredible. These interviews, I feel like it's really cool to see how different artists' minds work, because you definitely see that in doing interviews with musicians, because it's like one musician's one way and then another. And then it's like when they get the group together, you know, of course they have all of these inside jokes and like all that stuff, because they hang out and they, you know, play and tour and rehearse and all that stuff and record. And so that it's just really, it's real cool to get to know these people on that type of level. And hear the history of stuff. Like, yeah, I mean, I just would have never thought, for some of the musicians that we've interviewed, some of the things that they have told us, how they got into music or their upbringing and all that stuff. It's like, whoa. So, yeah. So thanks, everyone, for just your continued support. And if you want to DM us, go ahead on Instagram or the instant messenger on Facebook. We do have an email, but I feel like it's easier to reach us on a private, like, DM. So just go ahead and do that. And if you are interested in any other bands that you want to introduce us to that maybe we haven't seen or we don't know about, bring those up to us. Any questions that you guys would like answered, definitely put those in the DMs. We can use it on air and just, so, oh, and then since we're going to do an interview with Never Say Die, then if you guys are interested in any questions to ask them, we can go ahead and do some listener questions for them.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So, well, that's it for our show on Low Volts. The whole conclusion is just stream his music and go see him as much as he's playing, because for real, it's like, it's not going to disappoint.
Yeah,
you're not
never,
gonna get sick
I don't
of him.
Think you're ever going to get disappointed with him.
Right.
He is amazing.
Yeah. And you're never going to get sick of him either.
No. No, he is definitely a performer you could watch over and over again.
Yeah.
Just his energy and his performance.
You'd yeah.
Like, I just want to see him again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was, I'm definitely like, even though we're going to go to the Seaport session show after he's playing, I kind of want to go the one that he's doing, especially because it's from 5:30 to 7:30. So, you know, you and I are all about the early shows, the old people times, the Blue Bait special shows. All right, we're signing off from San Diego's The Local Travel Club. Thank you. I'm Maylee.
I am Pete.
And we will see you next time. Or actually, you'll be listening next time.